This morning we'd like to look at Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21. Leviticus 22:21. As the Lord is giving instructions concerning the sacrifice that was to be offered for the peace offering. And as God gives the instructions, he declares, "And whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a free will offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it." I often hear people say, "Well, I just come to God and I have fellowship with God and I really don't need Jesus Christ because I have a good relationship with God." And I've heard that said over and over. "I don't know why I need Jesus. I don't see why I need Jesus when I just come to God." Coming to God is something that each of us desire. Basically, innately within us, we need God. I desire God. I desire fellowship with God. I want to live in communion with God. My soul thirst after thee, O God, for the living God, that I might stand in his presence, that I might live in fellowship and communion with him. Now, in the Old Testament times, God had made provisions whereby man might come into fellowship with him. First of all, you would have to bring a sin offering to the priest because that's the first thing that stands between you and God. The sin offering having been offered, you then bring a burnt sacrifice offering in which you acknowledge your desire to consecrate yourself to God. And then you would bring your peace offering, which was the offering of communion or fellowship, after which you could enter into this fellowship with God. Now, the peace offering was, first of all, examined carefully by the priest to make sure that there was no blemish or defect. If any blemish or defect was discovered, then it would be rejected because God declared it must be perfect to be accepted. So God demanded the perfection of the sacrifice. If he is to accept it, it's got to be perfect. God knew the tendency of man to want to give to him the cast-offs. "I've got an old blind cow. Well, why don't I offer it to God as a sacrifice, you know?" Or, "The lamb broke its leg last week. It's not going to be able to survive. Let's sacrifice it to God." I said, "No way. The sacrifice has to be perfect to be accepted." Now, when the priest examined the sacrifice, found it to be perfect, he would then kill it, butcher it, and would roast it on the fire. He would then give to me my portion of the meat that I might sit down with my family and eat our meal together with God. For a portion of the lamb would go ahead and be burned upon the fire, being given unto God as a sacrifice. The rest of it I would sit with my family and eat, and we were thus eating with God and thus communing or becoming one with God. Now, there is in their culture a tremendous significance to eating together, which really doesn't translate into our culture. We don't think of it as they do. Probably because we don't eat as they did. You see, if someone invites you over to their house to eat, you go into the dining room and the table is all set and there are beautiful place settings and you have your dinner plate here and your little salad bowl here with a salad in it and your bread plate over here and your appropriate forks and spoons and knives set in order and you sit down and they pass the food around the table and you spoon out your portions and you have your own separate little eating area that is quite private and all. There, if you were invited to a meal, you would find a table, but no plates, no utensils, no nice forks or spoons. There would be a flat, round piece of bread or loaf of bread, and you would take and pull off a portion of it and pass it to the next fellow. He'd pull off his portion of it, and the bread would go around the table, everyone pulling off a portion. And then there would be little bowls out here with sauces. And you would take your bread and you'd dip it in the sauce, and the guy next to you would be dipping in the sauce with you. And then you'd eat the bread. And you were all eating the same loaf of bread out of the same bowl of sauces. And you'd pass the leg of lamb around, you'd pull you off a chunk of meat. And you'd go ahead and eat it, no knives or forks, you just pull it off and you'd just chew on it. And then when you're through eating your meat, you take another piece of bread and you wipe off your fingers, get all the grease off. And usually this piece of bread was tossed to the little puppies that were around the table. You remember that woman that said to Jesus, "True, Lord, but the little puppies eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." Talking about the habit of taking the bread that you wiped your hands off with, clean your hand with the bread, and then toss it to the little puppies around the table. But you had a real feeling of commonality because you were sharing your germs. And you were sharing in the same loaf of bread and in the same bowl of sauces. And you were just all together in the thing. So that as you ate together, you realized this commonality. I'm becoming one with you. This bread that is strengthening me is strengthening you. This bread that's becoming a part of my body as it's assimilated and becomes a part of my body is also being assimilated by you and becoming a part of your body. So we're becoming one with each other. And that was the whole mindset when you were sitting down eating the sacrifice with God partaking and eating of it in that which was offered to him on the fire. And here I am eating of it. I'm becoming one with God in that beautiful, close kind of an intimacy. I'm becoming one with God. And you sat there in the awe of the glory of becoming one with God in this communion. And that is why God said that the sacrifice that you offered must be perfect to be accepted. Of course, this whole cultural thing is the reason why they scornfully said of Jesus, "He's eating with publicans and sinners." They found fault with him. They criticized him because he would dare to eat with sinners. They wouldn't eat with a sinner. There's no way they would want to associate with them or become a part of a sinner. That is why the Jew would never eat with the Gentile. No way would he want to become one with the Gentile. But he sat and ate with God, becoming one with the eternal Creator. Now, in your desire to fellowship with God, how do you approach God for fellowship? What do you offer to God as the basis for fellowship? If you say, "Well, I just come to God. I have a good relationship with God, and I just come directly to God," let me remind you that God said It has to be perfect to be accepted. Are you perfect? Do you think that you can just approach God as you are? Upon careful examination, will you be discovered to be perfect? Some people seek to approach God on the basis of their good works. They offer to God the works of their own hands. But again, God said it has to be perfect to be accepted. Are your works perfect? Not only must the works be perfect, but the motivation behind the works must also be perfect. It may be that you are extremely artistic and you're able to create a perfect work for God. What was the motive behind it? It must be perfect to be accepted. Well, that immediately eliminates me. And it surely eliminates my works. I think that a person who is close to perfection probably has a more difficult time than I do. Because there's probably in their mind the thought, well, next time I'm going to do it perfect. And I've given up. I don't have any thought of next time. I mean, there's just no hope for me being perfect now or ever, as far as I am concerned. And because of the consciousness of my own imperfection and the imperfection of my works, it is easy for me to accept a substitute. Do you seek to approach God through the church? Are you looking for the church to save you? Well, the church is filled with imperfections, and the rites of the church are administered by imperfect men. I dare not trust the church to save me. Think of the folly of the person who is attempting to approach God through the chanting of the nonsensical mantra. Far from perfect. My only hope for fellowship with God is through a perfect sacrifice. But you say, there is no practicing priesthood anymore. There is no temple. There is no altar. How can man then have fellowship with God? Come into communion with God? Well, there is a temple. There is an altar. There is a practicing priesthood. The tabernacle and the altar that was built by Moses, the priesthood that was established by Moses, were only a type and a foreshadowing of that which was and is to come. The tabernacle and the altar were only a model of heaven. The real or the genuine article is in heaven. Man had a model on earth that was built by Moses. That is why in commanding Moses in the building of the tabernacle over and over, God said, now make sure that you build it according to the pattern that was given to you in the mount. An emphasis was placed over and over again on the exact replica, the pattern that you were given. Why? Because it was a replica of heavenly things. The Holy of Holies was a replica of the throne of God in heaven. It was a model. And the priesthood of Levi was a foreshadowing of another priesthood that would arise, not of the Levitical order, however. For in the psalm that we read today, as the psalmist is talking of the Messiah and his kingdom, as he waits even now until his enemies become his footstool, suddenly in the midst of the psalm, God declares, "For thou hast made him a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So there is a priestly order that is earlier and superior to the Levitical priesthood. Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, met Abraham when he was returning from the conquering of the five kings. And he blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave him a tithe of all that he had. He suddenly appears out of nowhere, meets with Abraham, blesses him, and receives a tithe from him. And we hear no more of him until the prophecy of Psalm 110, where God declares concerning the priest that is to come, "I have made thee a priest forever after the Melchizedek order." An eternal priesthood. And so Jesus Christ is our priest, our great high priest, who did not enter into the earthly temple made with hands, which was only a model of the heavens, but entered into the real heaven itself, into that place of which the tabernacle or the temple was just the model, and he entered into heaven to offer to God the sacrifice of his own blood for our sins. And having then offered that sacrifice, is now sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise that his enemies will become his footstool. But Jesus, having entered into heaven for us, has provided for us the perfect sacrifice, which means that through him, I can have fellowship and communion with God. The scripture says, "For he is our peace, who has broken down the wall of partition that divided man." Peter writes, "We are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our empty lives, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who was slain as a lamb," notice, "without spot or blemish." A perfect sacrifice. No spot. No blemish. After having examined him through scourging, Pilate said, "I find no fault with this man." A perfect sacrifice. The scourging was the Roman equivalent of giving the man the third degree. They would tie a man to a post, his back exposed. The executioner would begin to lay the whip across his back. A whip made of leather with bits of lead and glass embedded, designed to sort of rip the flesh off the back. The idea was, if a prisoner, upon being beaten, would confess his crimes, his sin against society, then the next lash would be easier. And as long as he continued to confess, they would be easier and easier until the 39 stripes were administered. But if he would not confess, the next lash would be laid on heavier and heavier and heavier until he would begin to scream out his crimes. Of this, Isaiah prophesied, "And as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed." Having examined Jesus through this scourging, Pilate then declared, "I find no fault with him." The perfect sacrifice. Judas, who had been with him for 3 years, observing him under every condition, having betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver because of his greed, brought the silver finally back to the priest, sought to give it back to them, for he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood. See ye to it. Observe it." The perfect sacrifice. The thief hanging next to him on the cross said, "This man has done nothing amiss." The perfect sacrifice. And God said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there is a priest superior to the Levitical priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. There is a sacrifice. There is an altar. There is a temple. The temple of God in heaven. The throne of God, before which Jesus presented himself as the perfect sacrifice for man. And thus, there is the possibility and the reality of fellowshipping with God. The peace offering has been made. It was examined and found to be perfect. For unless it is perfect, it can't be accepted. If man can only come to God through a perfect sacrifice and fellowship with God on that basis, then outside of Jesus Christ, there is no way for you to have fellowship with God. Because there is no perfect sacrifice today. There's no one to offer it. There's no one to take it before. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." I find that perfectly consistent with the Torah that demands that the sacrifice must be perfect to be accepted. And if you do not want to come through Jesus Christ, there is no other way whereby you can come. You must then live alienated from God. And at this point, you're no longer living, you're only existing, because life apart from God is only existence. It isn't real living. That's why the Bible said, "He that hath the Son has life, but he that has not the Son has not life." You have existence, but not real life. For real life is found in fellowship with God, which is only possible through Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. If you're seeking to approach God any other way, let the Torah speak to you this morning. It must be perfect to be accepted. Anything that you offer as a substitute must be perfect to be accepted. And it puts it then out of our reach, out of our realm. But it does not leave us in despair. It does not leave us without hope. I don't walk away with an empty heart, crying after God and saying, oh, if I could only find God. Oh, if I could only walk with God. Oh, if I could only feel God. If I could only know God. I don't have to walk away in despair and hopelessness, because there has been offered for me the perfect sacrifice that has been accepted by God. And through Him, I know the joy. I know the peace. I know the glory of being in communion with God, walking in fellowship with Him. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. Fellowship with God? Is it possible? You bet it is. But only by God's way, which is Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Help us, Lord, not to be so foolish as to try to substitute our imperfections or our imperfect efforts or even our imperfect desires. But may we come by the way of Jesus Christ into that life of fellowship, living with You, loving You, walking with You, one with You through Him. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Just thinking of all of my imperfections, it's amazing. You know, I'd like to be perfect. I really would. It'd be fun. But I have no delusions about myself. Man, if the priest would examine me, you know, because they examine for all kinds of physical impairments as well as other things. You know, the teeth are bad and the eyes are shot and knees are gimpy and never make it, man. But here I am in fellowship with God. Here I am walking with the eternal Creator. Here I am blessed by His presence and His power in my life. How? Because someone took my place and stood in for me and stands for me today. Jesus Christ, the perfect one. And through Him, I have fellowship with the Father. Through Him, you can have fellowship with the Father, but only through Him. And if you're longing for communion with God, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and just ask Jesus Christ to take over in your behalf. Do for you what you can't do for yourself. Bring you into communion with the Father. May the Lord bless you now. And this week, may it be a special week. because of God's grace and God's power and God's love working in your life. As you become conscious and aware of that fellowship with God and that nearness of God to you as He ministers of His love and grace through Jesus Christ our Lord.